Are you spinning your wheels to landing a job? Tired of not getting any responses when you apply for a job or not hearing back after an interview? Stay tuned as we dive deeper into this because I want to make sure if you're looking for a job, we answer your questions and we make sure that you walk away with tips to help you.
Welcome, 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 and welcome to The Adventure of an Entrepreneur, the podcast that dives deep into the world of entrepreneurship. We're going to be hearing the stories from entrepreneurs from all over the world in different industries. They're going to be sharing with us the stories of how they faced setbacks, walked through fire, climbed mountains to reach success. I'm your host, Sri Mahabir.
My guest is an executive interview coach who works directly with college students in technical majors like engineering, computer, and information sciences to help them get great opportunities at great companies. And here's a bonus. This guest I've actually met at a networking event back in 2015, and I'm super excited to have him on. His name is Ramon Centillion. Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome, 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 Sri. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I want to say hi to Yolanda, and if you're joining in today, tell us where you're joining in from. Drop it in the comments. I'm trying something new. I actually have a screen right here. I have my phone over here. So I'm just kind of like doing multiple things, but we're not here about this. We're here about Ramon. So Ramon, tell me, what do you like to do when you have nothing to do and it's your time?
I think I might have shared this with you before, but I love to grill. I love to cook because I cook all the time. But specifically, I love to grill. I actually have six grills. Well, I have six grills. One of them is out of commission right now because it's a grill that's 60 years old that I bought and I refurbished. I actually restored it to its original condition. And it broke again after like 6 years of using it. So when I have time, I'm going to start working on fixing that one again. But I love grilling. I grill easily 3 to 4 times a week, and different styles of and different kinds of proteins, and sometimes even vegetables. Next project I have, as far as that's concerned, is smoking cheese.
Ooh!
So be challenged because they have to be cold smoke. You can't always see hot smoke them because otherwise it'll melt. But anyways, that's something coming up hopefully right in the next month or so.
You know what? We have to see that video of you smoking the cheese because some of us would love to see it. I want to say hi to Robert Berry because I see you in the comments on my phone, but I don't see you here on StreamYard. StreamYard, we got to do better. Okay, so let's get into this conversation because there's so many people who are looking for jobs and they're trying to figure out what do they need to do. But my first question is, you know, when... You know, did you always have your business and work for someone, or was it something that you just decided one day, hey, I want to do this full time?
You know, I've always been, I feel good at interviewing, and, you know, I've been good at interviewing because I always prepared, and I always thought people prepared for interviews. So I always, even when I was in high school, my first interview that I went to at a grocery store, I was prepared. I knew kind of what products they sold. I knew the shift that I had available. And again, at my level, I went in and presented myself to the job. And I think looking back, I think the store manager was very like, what, like, I just need a kid to sack groceries. Like, can you do that? I'm like, yeah, I can definitely do that. And I got the job. So then other jobs in high school that I got, they were very easy for me to get jobs. And then at some point in college, you know, I was coaching people and it really stood out because, you know, I didn't have connections. I didn't have high grades. I didn't have prior related work experience in my major accounting. And I would see people who were, again, better grades, better connections, and they wouldn't get jobs. And I would get the jobs that they were trying to get. And then it makes sense to me, like, why, if on paper you're a better candidate than me, how come I can beat you at the job? And then I realized it was the preparation that made the difference. So about 13 years ago, I was doing this for free. And at some point, I was just so busy, I didn't have time to help people anymore. But I didn't want to say no. And I said, well, maybe if I tell them a dollar amount, they'll say no themselves and they'll go away. That way I don't have to say no. And it worked for about 3 months. And at the third month, someone said, sure, I'll pay you to do my resume. And then that's how my business started that way. So, you know, I kind of feel a little bit guilty that I charge people. But, you know, if I won the lottery, I would do this for free.
You know, that's something that a lot of people feel like when they come to having to charge people for services. But I've found that it's like a relationship with money. And you're really not, it's really like, hey, you're helping me. So this is the least bit I can do is you're helping me save time.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I guess maybe saying being guilty is not the right word because I don't feel guilty at all charging for what I do. I actually, one thing I also realized that for all those entrepreneurs out there or wannabe entrepreneurs is that the more you charge for things, the more people value it. And you know, for me, I'm actually, I feel very high end in my price structure because I provide high end results, and my clients are very happy to pay what I charge for what I do. And again, it's not like I'm doing anything different. It's just again, the results I get are what they want, and they're very, very grateful for that. So no, I don't feel guilty. I'm actually very glad that they can help me, you know, support myself doing something that I love.
And I am thankful for them too. So let's get into this. So here it is. I just got laid off or I'm trying to look for a job because I know you work with college students, but we're going to make sure that anybody who's listening to this live, the replay or on the podcast, you really do get the help you need. So if you have any questions, drop them in the comments. If you're watching on Facebook, on X, on YouTube, or here on LinkedIn, we're going to get to those questions. So my question is, when I'm in the market of looking for a job, how important is it to have my LinkedIn? Like, do people really look at my LinkedIn profile?
Yeah, they do. And more than having it ready, it's knowing how to use it. A lot of people go to LinkedIn and do the quick apply. And they're applying for jobs and they'll say, well, I applied to 50 jobs today. And then they complain that they didn't get any interviews or any offers. And the job's terrible and the job market's terrible and no one's hiring. And like, and they'll put a big long story about how everything's bad and evil. And I say, you know, LinkedIn was never intended to apply for jobs. LinkedIn is for connecting with people. So I always tell people, you can use LinkedIn for applying for jobs, but use LinkedIn what it's meant for connecting. So update your profile, and you don't have to make it fancy. You don't have to do some search engine optimization. What you really need to do is put the information you need on there and use it to find people at the companies that you want to work at. When I say the people, focus on, there's three types of people. There's the peers, which is basically you, except working at the company. There's future you. Future you is someone like you, except maybe 3 to 5 years ahead of you in the company. And then there's future boss. So those are the three categories of people you should be reaching out to. If you have time and you're interested, then you can reach out to a recruiter at the company. But keep in mind, a recruiter is a gatekeeper. They're trying to keep people out. The other three categories of people are employees, and they're not gatekeepers. If anything, if they like you, they're probably put you on the fast track to get a job there. And the last, since the pandemic started, I've had every year at least 10 people getting offers without applying for a job.
Ooh.
And the reason they did that is because they connected with someone on LinkedIn, especially when the pandemic started, having Zoom calls like this kind of call became very common. And people were bored and said, well, you know, someone reached out to me, they sounded cool. Let me talk to them. And I'll have a Zoom call and they'll say, hey, that went great. Let's have another Zoom call, but this time I'm by my boss. Is that okay? Sure. So they set up another call. And obviously, you know, my client's prepared for the call with the boss. And they have a Zoom call and then they'll say, hey, that went great. How would you love to start working with us? How would you like to join the team? And then they get an offer. it's funny because, you know, my clients will tell me, like, you know, when I fill out the job application, I filled it out when I was filling out payroll information. Because they'll show up to the company and they'll say, here, fill out your, you know, W-9 and all that stuff. And they'll say, oh, by the way, can you also fill out the job application? You actually never applied for this job. And they'll fill it out right when they do their payroll. And again, that's what LinkedIn is for connecting with people. Not, again, you can apply to jobs on LinkedIn. Yes, I know that. That's not really what it's meant for. It's for connecting.
I love that you brought up, you know, optimize your profile. For some, what does that mean? Like, because you mentioned information. Mm-hmm. What kind of information?
And so what else? Go ahead.
And does it matter? Should I have a picture or not?
You should have a picture just so people know you're a real person. You don't have to do a glamour shot. You don't have to do an AI picture. Just have, you know, a friend, you know, even yourself, just take a selfie and just make sure you look professional. It doesn't have to be, again, like some huge glamour shot kind of thing. Just take a nice picture and put on there so people know it's a real person, a real account. And as far as optimizing your LinkedIn profile, I know that's a word that gets thrown around a lot. And there is such a thing as optimizing your LinkedIn profile. However, just like any SEO for a website, it takes time. And most people who are looking for a job don't have time. So instead of trying to put the right keywords and like the right phrases, again, just put what you have on your resume, on your LinkedIn profile. You can put the skill sets on there. And you use it to reach out to people. No one's going to find you. Again, my background is in accounting. So if they put accounting, there's a million other accountants that have more keywords and, you know, experience or whatever it is that a recruiter is looking for. They're never going to get to me. What if instead of me waiting for them to reach out to me, I reach out to them, to the hiring management, to the future me and the peers at those companies. So you don't have to make it fancy. When's the best time to create your LinkedIn profile? You know, 5 years ago. When's the second best time? Now. So I would say just create your LinkedIn profile, put a picture, start reaching out to people.
And I'll add this, like, if you know how you have, there's an about section, I would definitely write it in first person, say I, yes, instead of, you know, third party, like Shri is. And then I would say it helps to have like a simple banner. If you look at Ramon's banner, it's super simple. Like we do for our clients a little bit more, but if you can't afford right now, you can do a simple banner. And then the headline that goes underneath your name, this actually came up. There's a lot of people who put like their great dad or, you know, mom, dad, I mean, girl, dad, and all. And a lot of people are like, take that away and just get to the point. Who are you? What do you do? And if you look at Ramon, it's very straight to the point what he does. Mine says, enhancing visibility for law and medical professionals. I'm definitely going to be working on it, but at least people can get an idea like, okay, she helps these people. So I would add that little bit. I know if it's like, oh, this is too much. Well, then just come to Ramon and have him help you put it together.
And, you know, make it simple. Like, it's better to be clear than to be clever. A lot of times we think like, oh, I'm going to put this and that in the file. And it's like, just be clear. Who are you? Because again, most people that if they want to talk to you, like, what does she do? Oh yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Like, call her. They don't care, like girl mom who's like, you know, was driving to blah, blah. I was like, I don't care. Because again, here's the thing I tell my clients and I have to explain to them because most people, especially now, we like very like care about our feelings and that kind of stuff. And I tell them, look, when you're going into an interview, or even when you're looking for a job, no one cares about you. No one cares about you. And I'm not saying you're not valuable. I'm not saying you're not important. I'm just saying no one cares about you. I'm not saying corporations are evil and like, you know, capitalism is bad. It's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that the companies hiring have a problem to solve. The problem to solve is not getting someone in there. That's not the problem at all. If they could get a machine to do the work, they would have done it already. But they haven't figured out how to get a computer, AI, or whatever to do that work. So they need someone to come in there to solve a problem. So when you go into an interview, you should present yourself as a solution. Most people, when they go into an interview and they ask them, Sri, tell me, you know, what are you looking for in a job? But they'll say something like, well, I want a place where I can grow and develop myself and blah, blah, blah. Like, no one cares. They don't care about you. That's your problem. My problem is I need, and then the problem is in the job description, basically. So instead of saying, well, I'm looking for a place where I can grow and develop myself, say, you know, I'm interested in this job because, you know, I know how to do this, this, and this, and this. And I saw in the job description, those are the things you need help with. And that's why I'm here today, to learn more about how I can help you. And it's an easy, it's a, again, people don't like this either, but it's a selling, you're selling yourself. It's a, basically an interview is a sales call. Think about when someone calls me to work with me and they ask me questions about, you know, who have I helped, what kind of results do I get, and that kind of stuff. At some point, they might not ask me directly, but indirectly, they're definitely asking me, why should I hire you, right? So why should I hire you as my interview coach? Let's say they do ask me directly that, why should I hire you as my interview coach? If I say something like, well, you know, my daughter loves horses and horse riding lessons are pretty expensive, so I need the money to pay for her horse riding lessons. Where's the client going to say, or the prospect going to say that? It's not my problem. Like, I don't care. I don't care that your daughter likes stupid horses. I have a problem. I can't find a job. I can't get an offer. I can't get an interview. I want to negotiate my salary. That's a problem that they have. So instead, what I do is I ask them, or when they say, well, why should I hire you? I say, well, and then I go into exactly the problem that they had, that they told me previously. Why? Because I asked them what the problem was. And said, well, because I've helped people like you do this, this, and this, and this, and I can get the results that you want. Because you said you wanted this, 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 and this. I can't help you with that. Again, they don't care about me. Not that they're bad people. They just don't care about my problem. They care about their problem. So when you go into an interview, focus on their problem, not your problems.
Ooh, that's huge. Focus on their problems, not your problems. Because at the end of the day, that's what they're there for. They're hiring you to solve their problems. So you kind of like hit really good points, what to keep in mind in the interview, how to present yourself during that interview. I remember when I worked with you years ago, because you helped me land not just one job, but two jobs. I remember because we met. Well, no, I already had the job that I had, but this was a second job that I was looking for. I was trying to get into another company, and I remember you had me answer some questions, which is like, what are you looking for in a leader or in the company? Mm-hmm. So these are like preparing yourself before you look for that company. Why do we need to take the time to do that?
Because like anything, if you don't have something, a clear goal in mind, you're not going to find it. It's easier to find the thing you're looking for if you know what it looks like, because you know where to look for it, and also you'll know when you see it. It's like, oh, this is what I'm looking for. You know, I'll give you a little. So don't tell this to anyone, okay? So just you and whoever's online. But I'll tell you a secret. When I was younger, I was really bad at dating. You know, I just couldn't get a date, and I just didn't know what was going on. And I felt, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. I felt like I was in shape, a good looking guy. I had a job, education, funny, you know, all stuff that I thought would make me an attractive, you know, candidate to work for material, let's call it. But it wasn't working. I wasn't sure what was going on. But I was always good at interviewing, like I mentioned before. So one day I was reading an article about interviewing because, you know, that's what I like to do. And at the bottom of the article, it said something like, if you treat your job search like you do looking for love, you'll have a successful, you know, career. And I was like, wait a minute, like, what do they mean by that? Because I know I have a system for looking for a job. And the first thing I do when I'm looking for a job is like, okay, what do I want? Do I want to work, you know, I used to live in Houston, that's where we met. Do I want to work inside the 610 loop? Am I applying on the Beltway or outside the Beltway? How far is my commute? What kind of company do I want to work at? Oil and gas? Do I want to do an accounting firm? You know, drilling? What do I want to do? How much do I want to get paid? Who do I want to work for? What kind of title do I want? Do I want an office, not an office? You know, all kinds of questions you can ask. And once I figure out what I want for my job, then I can say, oh, yeah, okay, I want a job in the 610 loop. So that means any company outside 610 loop, I can exclude. And I can focus on the ones inside the 610 loop. Oil and gas. Okay, well, forget about the financial firms because I want to focus on oil and gas. And so on and so forth. To get smaller, 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 and then I can focus on those companies. And I can figure out what do they want that I can offer, right? So then I took those same skills to dating. And I was like, okay, so what do I want in a girlfriend? I want a girlfriend, but what girlfriend do I want? And I'm a tall guy, you know, you've met me before. And I like tall girls. So I was like, okay. So that was the easy one for me. Like physically, I want her to be tall. Okay, what else do I want? I want her, back then the last girlfriend I had, she lived in Austin. So I was going to Austin every 2 weeks. And as I was like, I'm not doing that again. And I'm not driving either. I want her to be in the 610 loop inside. And I lived in Midtown back then. I was like, if she put the closer to Midtown, the better, because that's where I live. I don't want to drive anywhere to see this whole girl. And I want her to be professional and that kind of stuff. So again, then I thought, okay, I know what she looks like in my head. I know what I want. And if I could tell my friend, this is the kind of girl I want. And he might have said like, oh, that's not the girl I want, but that he wants. And that's fine, because that's not for him. That girl is for me. So, and he might say like, well, I like a girl that's short. And like, well, that's great. That's the kind of girl you like. I don't personally like them, but you know, that's your thing. So then I said, okay, this is what she looks like. This is who she is. She's a professional about. So let me go, where can I find a professional girl who's tall? So I said, okay, well, let me go to the county association, because I'm an accountant and there's girls there who are accountants and they're professionals. They live in the 610 loop in the castle. And then when I would walk into a room, if she was at eye level, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go talk to her. Some of them were interested in what I had to offer, and that's fine. You know, they have a preference, completely understandable. But then some of them really like what I had to offer. You say, oh, the tall guy who's Hispanic and like he's an accountant or whatever it is, right? So I focus on those girls because they're interested in what I want and they have what I want, right? Or they're interested in what I have and they have what I want. So same thing with the job. If you focus on the companies and what they want and match it up to what you want, those companies will hire you. So that's kind of what I use that to become better at dating. So,
And it's very helpful. It was very helpful. And I just remember too, I was like, yeah, you did help me get two jobs. Let me clarify. It was back in 2015 and then again in 2017. And I did this exercise that Ramon is talking about. And I never forgot it, because when I was looking for a job, I noticed that I didn't apply to as many jobs. And I actually got a response back to, I had applied to maybe like 10 to 15 jobs, and I got a response back, and one did end up hiring me. And I remember even how to prepare for the interview and everything. But if you want to know how that works, you got to hire him, then you know. I even sent my daughter to him to help. So that I'm telling you, like, this is not, you know, he knows what he's talking about. We did get a question, and this is from Drew, who's asking, do you have any suggestions on how to explain being let go from a job because you and the owners disagreed on how to lead the staff and grow sales when my methods were working great, but not how they wanted to do things?
Yeah. Okay. For starters, former jobs are like former, you know, girlfriends or boyfriends, former relationships. Never talk bad about them. Because the first thing people think about if you talk bad about your exes is like, well, what did you do? Why did they do that to you? Same thing with jobs or company or exes. Don't talk bad about them. So really sit down and think about, you know, how do you want to be seen? More than focusing on what you want to say, focus on how you want to be seen by the new employer. And how can you spin that situation to benefit you? So again, can you put the question back really quick? Is it possible? So I can look at it real quick. How do you explain being let go? Owner disagree, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so again, right off the top of my head, I would say something like, right now I'm looking for a new job where I can definitely be more hands-on and helping lead staff and grow sales. That's something that in my last job I was trying to work on, and I feel like I'm ready for that challenge. So let's take a time out from this and pretend we're on a date, right? And then you ask me, why did you and your last girlfriend break up? I'm never going to say, well, you know, because you know, I like to drink a lot and party all night long. And well, or you say, well, she cheated on me or something like that. No, because it sounds bad, right? Like, no matter which way we dice it. And I don't want to see it as a victim or anything like that. So what I say instead? Say, well, you know, I'm really interested. You know, it didn't work out. We wanted different things in life. But, you know, what I want now is a more stable relationship. And that's what really interests me about your, you know, Bumble profile. That you said you were looking for a stable relationship. And that's really something that interested me a lot about you. And that's why I, when you sent me the connection, I was like, yeah, let's definitely meet up for dinner and talk more about this. So again, you mentioned a little bit about what happened. You don't have to mention all the details, but really immediately bring it back to them. Because again, you're talking to them. So again, for the job, I do the same thing. Like, yeah, this happened, a little bit of what happened, but really, That's great that those things happen. Why? Because now you and I are talking. If that those things hadn't happened, this meeting would have never happened before. So I'm very glad to be able to talk to you today about this because you know it sounds like you need someone to help you grow your sales and you need your teams, and that's the kind of person I am. All right, so bring it back to that person you're talking to.
I really love that you brought up like how it's dating because it is true sales. Mm-hmm. A job, it is a relationship, and you want to make sure you're stepping into something that works for both you and the employer or even the other person when it comes to dating. And we have Yolanda that says that's an actionable exercise. Mm-hmm. It really is the where you went, and what we're talking about is when you sit down and figure out where do you want to work, what kind of company. I mean, it's a very in-depth exercise. And I remember when I first did it, I was like, okay, it took me time before I found the job. But when I did the exercise, it was 6 months before I actually found a job, but I did that first. And I noticed that every time that I looked for a job, it was very different because I wasn't trying to go for everything. I was very specific. Mm-hmm. The same thing as a business owner. Or if you're an online coach, when you kind of know who you're wanting to work with, it's easier to talk to them, creating content. Here's a tip. I know that I focus on medical law and dental practices, but at the same time, I understand what it's like if you are an interview coach. If you know who your target audience is and what they're struggling with, you are going to create that content that speaks to them. Same thing if you are a lawyer and you are a personal injury lawyer, well, what are common questions that you get? But also add what are common questions that don't get talked about a lot online? Because there's a lot of things that we don't hear that we say, I wish I knew this before I hired you. And so sometimes you can see what everybody's asking, but also what are they not asking? So that's that bonus tip there. Definitely take the time, check them out. If you are searching for a job, want to work on your interview skills, your resume, and you're like, you know what, I'm ready. I'm tired of just not finding what's wrong. Definitely go and hire Ramon. You will be so glad that you did. I know I am. Well, I know I am because he's helped me so many times. And so before we end, I want to ask you, Ramon, what's your favorite book to read? Because I see all those books in the background.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have this two books right here and I have another one over there. Actually, I have a bunch of other ones over there. Recently, I read a lot of business books, a lot of interview books, actually. But I said, you know what? My mind needs space to expand. And you can't always expand if you're reading the same thing. So recently, I started reading this book by Mary Kay, you know, Dallas native where I live now. And it's called Mary Kay on Team Building, I believe. It's an old book. It's from 1972, I believe. But it's excellent. Very actionable advice, very timely advice, even though it's almost like 50 years old. You know, obviously Mary Kay, founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics, wonderful lady. So I've been enjoying that book a lot.
Well, there you have it. You have a book suggestion too. So next week I go live with a wonderful guest and I want you to come and join us. But until then, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ramon. Bye. Thanks for tuning into this episode. If you found it very helpful, share it with a friend, share it in your social media. Until the next time.